Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our Lord's Day service, and I hope the service is a blessing to you. After church today, we hope that you will join us in fellowship hour in the adjacent room. It should be a lovely time of fellowship together. This week, on Wednesday, is our midweek Lenten service. It's at Scandia Village Meadows Gathering Room, and we hope you can attend that. It's at 1:30 in the afternoon. It should be a lovely time of fellowship. And on Thursday, we have a very special event at Birchwood Lodge from 1 to 3. It's Catherine Onison's 100th birthday party. So we encourage all of you to come out to that. It should be a delightful time. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Our watchword for the week is taken from Psalm 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Please stand as we turn to the liturgy for Lent, found as an insert in your bulletin. Hear me, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat.
Come buy wine and milk without money and without price.
Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?
Listen carefully to me and eat what is good.
Incline your ear, come to me. Listen, so that you may live. Return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them.
And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater,
so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty.
It shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it.
You shall go out with joy and be led back in peace.
The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song,
and the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat in summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of assurance, deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Our second lesson is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him. And suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand as we sing hymn 771. My hope is built on nothing less.
How blessed we are when Colin is accompanying us. It is so wonderful, really brings us into worship. Thank you, Colin. Would you pray with me? Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I came from a religious tradition that did not observe Lent. They thought that was a human-made device. They thought it was too much of a downer. In fact, the very first time my dear husband came home with ashes on his forehead, I dopily asked, "What's that smudge on your head?" This is how steeped I was in a different tradition. We went from Christmas to Easter on a high. All the services were services of praise. We'd have one day where we'd mark the crucifixion, that was Good Friday, and the attendance went way down. Now, even in mainline churches, even in churches where we acknowledge Lent and we acknowledge that time of quiet introspection, people prefer Christmas and Easter. That's when the crowds are. Even in our churches, you notice that Christmas, unless it's terrible weather, we're bursting at the seams the same way with Easter. But not so much Lent. You understand that, don't you? We'd rather be upbeat. But if our faith is only candy canes and butterflies, it's not going to cut it when we open the newspaper and we see a war that has dragged on for a year and people killed every day. Candy canes and butterflies are not going to address that. When we see yet another shooting in our country, candy canes and butterflies will not address that. When we are struck by illness, praise bands are not going to cut it. There is a time for Lent. There is a time to weep. And the Spirit of God knew this. When Jesus started on a high, when he was baptized and he came up out of those waters and God ripped the heavens open and said, "This is my boy." And then the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. Why? Because if he had not spent those 40 days hungry, how could he have any credibility when he dealt with hungry people? If he had not spent those 40 days looking for water so he could stay alive in the desert, how could he credibly say, "I am the water and the fountain of life"? If he had not been alone, how could he understand when we, in the middle of the night, cry out in our desolation and in our loneliness? It was only after the 40 days that he could come out of the wilderness and say, "I've got good news for you." He had to have that 40 days dealing with darkness, wrestling with his own soul, and facing the devil himself. Now, we often don't talk about the devil in those terms, but I have to tell you, when I turn on the nightly news, I see the devil himself. Because I see mayhem. I see destruction. I see grief. And we need a Savior who has faced the devil himself. When he got down out of that mountain, he had the credibility he needed. And the credibility that we need for our Savior today. Because those who are suffering understand that he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Those who are hungry understand that he was hungry too. Those who are thirsting in their soul can understand that. that this is one who can follow us in every circumstance of life. And then we who have experienced the dark night of the soul, we who have been at the bedside of loved ones, we who have lost our friends and family, we can then be messengers of grace. We can speak the good news to others. I think of those who meet on Monday and Tuesdays here that are part of AA, and the reason they have people in here are because they have seen the devil himself in addiction, and they are working to help people stay in the path of wholeness. That's the work of Jesus. And then there are people who will never come into this church, who will never hear the beautiful music that we sing on Sunday mornings, who might never get the soul-touching love that they see here. And it's not enough for us to say, come on in so you can experience it. We have to go out. Do you realize that most of Jesus' ministry was not in the synagogue? Most of Jesus' ministry was not in the temple. Most of Jesus' ministry was out on the street corners, where people needed healing, where people were hurting. That's where Jesus was. And in this season of Lent, it is not enough to put ashes on our heads. It is not enough to say, well, we'll give something up or we'll pray more. It's what we do for the people that we meet. And we have credibility when we've gone through those dark times. I'll give you a couple of examples. One was when I was young, really young. I think I was in fifth grade. And I came face to face with an awful reality. And that awful reality was I had no brain for math. It was really sad. And I butted up against fractions, and they made no sense to me. And so I came home with a zero on my page, and the teacher saying to me, you've got to have your parents sign this. Well, I walk home in absolute dread of that. And my dear mother said to me, oh, I understand. I got a zero too when I was your age. That really helped. And then she gave me off to my father, who actually could do math and tutored me in it. But it was so helpful for me to understand that somebody went through what I went through. When I was older and I lost both parents, they were full of days when they died, but it was still traumatic for me. And of course, I got a lot of sympathy cards, and so many people wrote lovely things. But the one that touched me the most was a fellow pastor sent me a note with a tea bag in it. And he said, I want you to know that my parents died within 5 days of each other. And he said, so I understand what you're going through. And I thought, oh, he sure does. I couldn't match that, and I wouldn't want to match that. And he said, have a cup of tea and remember them with love. You see, there's so many people that need us because we've been wounded, that need those of us who have gone through difficult times in order to heal. Some of us in our lives have faced the devil himself. And because of our friend Jesus, we are able to reach out and extend healing to those around us. Would you commit to do that this Lenten season, to be Jesus to someone in need? Let us pray. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my soul. Lord, we ask that the image of the suffering Christ would be stamped deep within us so that we may indeed be your hands and feet extended to those who are in need of a visitation from you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue to worship our Lord with the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Time of worship where we bring our praise reports and our prayer requests. We have a praise report. Ava and Will are the parents of Harrison David. Grandparents are Natalie and Ned. We're so delighted for the family that Harrison David came safely into this world. We want to remember in our prayers the people of Ukraine. Want to remember Anne and Dave, Elise, Kim, Joni, who had her surgery and is recovering. We're so grateful for that. Kathy, Maggie, Joel, Barbara. We have a few more folks this week that we need to pray for. Susan. Susan is a member of the Unitarian Fellowship, and her days are very limited. She's in hospice care at the end of life. We ask for prayers for Susan. We ask for prayers for Lois, who's a member of Sister Bay Moravian Church, and she's not doing well today. And Karen asks for prayers. She has had a constant companion since her beloved Bob died. His name is Orville. He's a four-legged companion, and he's very sick, and she's very worried about him. So let's pray for Karen and Orville today. And we want to remember the family of Mary Mueller. Mary was a member of this community, and she passed away quite suddenly. We want to remember her family in our prayers. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful that we can be here today, so grateful for the joyous news of a new life coming into this world. And we ask that you would bless Harrison David, his parents, his grandparents. We're so grateful that you are with us in our joys and that you are with us in our sorrows. And for the people throughout the world, and especially in Ukraine, who suffer daily, we ask that you lift them up and give to them your peace. Help the nations of this world to speak for peace. We ask for all of those who are struggling with illness, that your loving arms would surround them. We ask that you would be with Susan as she lives her final hours, that your grace would surround and sustain her, that Lois might be given release, that you would be with Karen and Orville. We thank you for those that you give to us that bring us comfort. We ask that you would bring healing. And for the family of Mary Mueller, as they gather together, as they mourn deeply this loss, that you would grant to them your comfort. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we enter into this holy season, let us keep our eyes on Jesus. He will show us where we need to go. Amen.